If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Gospel of Kinnison, episode 207, brought to you the week of April 29th, 2024. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison. This is my personal audio journal. Welcome to the program. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for listening. I've gotten to where I record these things on Mondays because I forget to record them on Sunday nights. How terrible is that? We had a busy Sunday yesterday. But before I get into all that, I want to share something that happened this week. My wife and I were on a date. We go to a place called Tucker's Place. It's in South County. It's nice. It's like a boomer restaurant. Like, there's lots of old people that go there, and we enjoy it. You know, just good old fashioned wood paneled walls. You know, looks like it was built back in the 70s, I don't know. It's just great. But we sit at the bar a lot because we don't like waiting for tables. And I enjoy the bar scene, you know. Sometimes it's a little loud and sometimes there's an obnoxious, you know, crowd of people and all that. But that's just the risk you take for not having to wait 45 minutes for a meal. But it's also an area of the world that I have until recently had no experience with, you know, never been in a bar, had never been in a bar, never sat at a bar, never went to the bar at Applebee's even, you know. It's something that I enjoy. I enjoy rubbing elbows with people. It's a place you can just talk to the guy next to you and it's not a big deal and they'll talk to you. And it's just a much more social, interactive thing. And I think for me being home as much as I am, I think it's one of the reasons why I'm attracted to it. Secondly, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be there. So I get off on not, you know, on the bad, being bad part. But it also is the 45 minute wait. But anyway, we're there and there's also stories, you know, that come from being there. So the latest is, there was this kind of obnoxious couple that were just hammered. And they were talking very loud and standing up. Like, they had two bar stools, but they were standing. And the guy kept singing part of a Motley Crue song that he just, I love that song. Then he would sing part of it. I can't even remember which one it was. Because so he was kind of on loop, You know, every 10 minutes he would go back and, I love this song, you know. And she was loud, but not obnoxious. Okay. So typical drunk couple. And they were trying to talk to the bartender, which I see a lot. You know, these poor bartenders, most of the ones that I see are female and they're working their tails off. And I enjoy watching them work because they're masters at their craft. They're just doing a million things at once. Mixing drinks is like one of the most, I could watch it like you watch fire at a bonfire, you know, you just sit there and look at the fire. I could watch people mix drinks all day. It is absolutely enthralling to me that people know how to do it. I'm sure I would do the same thing at a coffee shop if I ever went to one of those. But so they're trying to talk to her while she's busy and she'll just walk away. She has to, because they have no sense, you know, they're drunk. And me and Jen are having a nice conversation. It's easy it's a lot easier to put people in the background at a bar than it is if you were sitting at tables for some reason. Like if the table next to you was being loud and obnoxious, it would ruin your whole night. But at a bar, it's more accepted, I guess, appropriate. I don't know. I would compare it to like seeing a lady in a bikini at the beach. You wouldn't think twice about it. But then if you were at a bank and she comes walking in, you'd be like, what? You know, it would mess up your whole banking experience. It might excite it a little bit. I don't know what you're into. Maybe bikinisatbanks.com needs to be a thing. Don't even look that up. It probably is. And if it's not, I'm going to start bikinisatbanks.com. And, yeah, anyway, where am I going? I'm going to a weekly update. So the lady that's drunk, but loud, but not annoying is suddenly behind the bar. And my wife's like, what's she doing? And I'm like, what? Oh, she's getting herself a drink. And she is, she's filling herself up with something, like pouring something. And Jen's like, yes, she crept up underneath the divider there. You know, that little part of the bar that they lift to get past and then they put it back down. Sometimes it stays up all the time. Well, this one has one that is specifically for the wait staff to come to get their drinks for the tables. Well, this lady had apparently, you know, gotten underneath. I missed that part. All I see is her filling up something and she's talking and she walks back and it's like she forgot how to get out. Like she got in by ducking under the counter part, but she just goes, I'm drunk. And then just squishes down like a kid crawling under the table to get out of a booth to go to the bathroom and crawls out with her drink and goes and takes her spot back and becomes loud, but not obnoxious. So yeah, anyway, if anything, you know, I would wager, like if my mom, I don't know how old she is. She's probably 70 something. I don't know exactly how old she is, but I bet you, if you asked her, she would say, James, you should not be at that bar. You should not go to a bar. It's going to lead you to temptation. Well, let me tell you something. I have not seen one thing that makes me think that getting drunk is something that I should do. You guys remember a little while back when I told you I was on narcotics because of my stomach surgery and I saw things that weren't real. Yeah, it didn't do anything to attract me to narcotics. And seeing a lady on all fours trying to get up underneath a bar with a drink in her hand is not casting any votes toward, you know, it's not checking any of my boxes for I should become a drunk. But anyway, it was just hilarious. The way she stopped and you could just see her mind working like, okay, I accomplished my goal, but I don't remember how I got here. So therefore I can't reverse the process and work my way back out of it. And then she just goes to, I'm drunk, and I'm drunk, I guess, gives you invulnerability, you know, stupid confidence. I don't know. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. I did. So they left before we did. So it was great because you did get, you know, get some quiet time. But that's what you get drinking at them bar or eating at those bars, James. I know. But, you know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And that's where the world is, right there. And I don't know, one time there was a guy, an old dude. You know, they're all old there, but old gray-haired dude. And he keeps talking to Jen. And he's very friendly, but he keeps, like, cracking jokes and stuff. And I leaned over to her and I said, do you need me to leave you two alone? I was like, do you need a scrap of paper to put your phone number down or something? Because he wasn't hitting on her. He was way too old for that. And he wasn't being creepy. He was just being loose-lipped. You know, he had had some alcohol. So he was just talking, you know. And that's what you do. That's what you do at a bar. You sit down next to a guy and you're like, hey, yeah, how you doing? You don't do that when you sit at a restaurant. You try to ignore everybody. So it's a totally different dynamic. And it's a tip for today. A little bit of GOK for you. If you're at a fancy restaurant or a halfway decent restaurant with a bar, and there's a 45-minute wait and you see spots at the bar, find out if they serve full menu there and go sit down. Just go take a seat. Sometimes there is a wait list for the bar, so you need to ask. But most of the time, it's first come, first serve. So anyway, life updates. Today, I went for a job interview, and I got the job. So I don't know if I want the job, but I have the job. Okay, so it would be working for a sign company, okay? And I've talked about sign companies before, and I've turned them down in the past because it's about one-third graphic design, one-third making signs, and one-third installing signs. And he told me, sometimes you got to get out there with post hole diggers and you're planting a post in the ground to hang a sign on. He says, it's not very often, but it happens. And in the past, I weighed, you know, excess of 300 pounds, and I didn't think, and I never walked. I had no energy or anything, and it just was turned off by that idea. I wanted to sit on my butt all day and draw things. But I applied for this job, and he called. He seemed very nice. He seemed very interested in me. And I was like, you know, what's it going to hurt to go to the interview? You know, I don't have to take the job. I met with the guy. He's super nice, super down to earth, super relaxed. And I asked him a bunch of questions, like, you know, how long for lunch? You know, what time do we get off? We get off at 4:30. That's perfect, because I was going to ask to get off on 4:30 on Thursdays, because that's podcast day. What is the breakdown of how much I'm going to be doing? You know, and he told me it's about a third for each thing, drawing, production, installation. And he's asking me questions about, you know, what am I interested in? I told him I like tools and stuff. He said, have you ever hung wallpaper? I'm like, no, but I've hung drywall. And he's like, so you know your way around tools in a shop and all this. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, he seemed happy with everything. Matter of fact, when it was over, you know, I thanked him for his time, and he said, I really enjoyed the interview. And I was like, yeah, I felt like we had a connection, you know. I don't want to speak too soon because, you know, we'll see. But he seems to be what he seems to be, you know, I'm talking about on the surface. He doesn't look like he's putting on a show or putting on a front. And this sign company does everything. They do banners. They do tablecloths. They do t-shirts. They do stickers, they do, and whatever they don't do, they'll subcontract out. Oh, and so this is huge for me because I get an employee discount. And so I could start making my own stickers, my own keychains, my own t-shirts and stuff like that. And just, oh, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. Like, I'm about to place an order for a banner to go across the front of the table for NarthexCon. I always like to do that so the tables look, you know, like almost professional, you know. And I think I'm going to wait and hold off and see how much I could get one printed for, you know. But anyway, I start Monday, so a week from today. He would have let me come in tomorrow, I got no doubt. But I told him I needed a haircut. And he's like, you don't need no haircut. I'm like, no, I do. I do. I said, I've got it slicked back right now, so you can't see how much hair I have. But no, he's been a franchise operator for, or owner operator, I suppose, for 7 years. And they just 2 weeks ago moved into a new, I don't want to say office, I would say shop, that's double the space of their old one. So, and they've got, they're 2 weeks into moving. And it's just one of those deals where you could tell the shop's not completely set up yet because they set up the machines they needed right away. And other stuff is still in crates or still in the old building. So there's a lot of work to do. And I'm really, if I go to work on Monday, because I got to talk to my wife about this to be absolutely sure. And I did get his business card because there, you know, I'm not planning on turning down the job. I already shook the dude's hand and took the job. It was kind of weird. I thought he would get back to me. You know, I thought he would say, okay, well, we'll give you a call. But he just reaches out his hand and he says, all right, the job's yours, you know, kind of thing. And I shook his hand because you shake somebody's hand and therefore I took the job. So there was no time to think about it. And that's why I wanted to wait a week so I could really think about it because, yeah, I don't know. I want to talk to Jen about it. We've got to look at transportation situations because we are in a 2-car family right now with 3 drivers and I'm without a vehicle. So, you know, there's a lot to consider, but I do plan on going in on Monday. The only reason I wouldn't is if I get to talking to Jen and she feels like it's too much for me to handle, or that the manual labor part of it is too much for me. But as a perk, here's some perks. Okay. So 4:30, you know, 8 to 4:30, because of a 30-minute lunch. Love that. I'm against traffic both ways, meaning I'm not with the flow of traffic. So I'm trying to get out of the city while everybody's trying to get in the morning, and I'm going into the city when everybody's trying to get out. So the drive is going to be great. You don't have to wear a uniform. I've been in plenty of these sign places, and they have shirts that they wear, you know, with the logo. And that was a no-go for me. I had told Jen, if I have to wear a uniform, I'm not going to do it. And I noticed everybody there was dressed like they worked in a shop, you know, just with t-shirts and jeans. And so I asked him about that, you know, he says, yeah, no open-toed sandals. I'm like, yeah, no, of course not. But, no, you know. So anyway, we're going to need to, it's good. It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. It makes me feel good. The only thing about it is it's not quite the job I would have wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted the job at the church from last week, because I would be sitting in an office situation at an office setting, you know. Now I'm going to be, there's nothing wrong with sweating for a living, but that's going to be part of my job, is designing and then creating and then going out and installing. And he said most of the job, or a good chunk of it, is the designing and building. So, you know, I, for instance, they were printing out stickers that are going to go on all of SLU's, the college here in town, SLU's recycle bins. And it was a big 11-inch sticker. And they were printing it, and then they cut it out on a machine, plotted it. And they were stacking them in stacks. And so, you know, there were two guys that were in charge of that. Somebody had obviously designed it and then printed it and then put it together. I don't mind that. That, you know, that's fine. I love tools. And I love tools that do specific things. And my friends, they have a laser engraver. What kind of, and he's like, nobody, we don't hardly use it because nobody knows how to operate it. James is going to learn how to operate that thing. And James is going to make use of that thing. They have a CNC router. My brother has a CNC router and I'm so jelly. And so what can I get up to with a router and a laser? And it's not just an engraver, it's a cutter as well. Like it'll cut stuff. So, it's like going to a maker space. You ever heard of those where you pay a subscription and you go to a workshop and they've got all these tools laid out for you to mess with and you just pay a monthly fee. And as long as you keep things clean and don't break anything, they don't care. That's what this is like to a certain extent. So I'm excited. They have large format printing. They can do sublimation, which means they can print on cloth and fabric. So they can do t-shirts and tablecloths and they can do full menus. They do magnets for cars. They do vinyl wall coverings. They do cutout vinyl, you know, for windows. They do I don't know if they do vehicle wraps. That would be something I would be nervous doing. But they do windows for businesses and stuff. So, and they do a lot of banners. And he did ask me if I was scared of heights. And I told him, honestly, I'm like, yeah, if I can get up a 10-foot stepladder, you know, but anything higher than that, I'm not your man. He said, well, anything heavy duty, we subcontract out. I'm like, okay, that sounds great. Or you could give it to one of those two young guys I saw out there in the shop. Give it to one of the youth of America. So, So I feel good, if you can't tell, about getting hired. I feel good about the interview. I feel good about the boss. You guys know from my history that I have had some pretty crappy bosses the last couple of jobs. And you know, woo, yay, happy, happy. He seems just like he's got his head on straight. I used to have a boss named Brian Henson. Brian Henson worked at MyLink in Macon, Georgia. He was my favorite boss because he was so chill. And as long as you did your work, he stayed chill. He never got mad at me. There was plenty of times he corrected me. Plenty of times that I made mistakes, you know, and back then I was too stupid to ask questions. Now I ask too many questions, probably. But he reminds me of Brian Henson. Brian Henson was a businessman and a business owner, and so he had that aura about him, you know, when somebody owns their own business, that pride that they carry. And I don't mean a bad pride, like I'm making my own way in this world. You know, I'm living the American dream kind of thing that you can just feel on people without it being that entrepreneurial spirit. And please hear me on this. My interactions with entrepreneurs has been that they are people that are full of bullcrap, that they overpromise and underdeliver. And they're great about social media and promoting themselves and what they do, but they fall short on what they actually accomplish. And you can just tell this guy works hard. It's like a Chick-fil-A owner. They don't just own the business. They're required to work there. And it shows. It shows because it's not like McDonald's. Or the owner doesn't even go in there, but once a year probably. It's different when the owner's there. So I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to working for him, even though it's not quite the level of job I wanted. I do worry that it sets a tone for my resume. Cause you know, I went from full-time graphic design at Cap America to, you know, now I'm graphic design, but I'm also production specialist. But you know what? I'm going to learn a lot of stuff. I'm going to learn how to run a lot of machines. But again, that worries me. Does that tie me down to a certain level of income? What's the cap on that? You know, I will tell you this. He asked me how much I needed to come in, and I gave him a number, and he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I'm worth it." He said, "But there's so much you don't know." I said, "Yeah, but I'm a super quick learner and I love this stuff." And then I let him talk for a second because he, you know, and then I thought I needed to revisit. I said, let me ask you this. What do you want to bring me in at? And he said, this amount. And it was $1 less than what I had asked for. And he said, and in 2 months, if you check all these boxes, we'll go to that dollar more an hour. And I was like, that sounds fair. And I told my wife about this and she just laughed. She laughed out loud. She's like, "Man, the way you, oh," I'm like, "What? What is it?" You know, because she's in the business world. She's like, just that she calls it stupid confidence that men have. Like, you sell yourself. You're just like, "Yeah, I'm worth it." Like, I would never say that. But I am. I am. I'm a good employee. I care so much about the end product. I care about making my boss's business better. I want to be a part of something that is a winning product, you know, winning concept. I don't know. I want to be a guy that keeps the ship afloat, not the one down there, you know, where they say we don't need no woodpeckers on this boat. You know, I don't want to be a woodpecker. I want to be somebody that's helping to make the ship a better ship. And yeah, I got no doubt about that dollar an hour raise. I'm going to earn that bad boy. And I'm gonna take my wife out to dinner for a dollar. We're going to get a soda from McDonald's if they still have them for a dollar. We'll spend that dollar an hour right there in one night. So anyway, I got a job. We're going to need to get a car. Chances are that I will go back to driving the Rogue that my son is driving right now because it is a nice car and I miss my car. I do. I drove it today and I didn't realize how much I miss it. And the freedom, you know, that comes with it, just being able to go where you want to go and not having to ask your son for a car. I mean, we get along, we share very well, but it, you know, it's a little depreciating. I don't know what the word would be. Now, humiliating is too strong because I'm not humiliated, but I do find myself asking for the vehicle rather than saying I need the car, you know, but I'm just, I don't want to be a butt, you know? So I'm like, "Hey, are you using the car?" You know? So anyway, I'm still doing my life, changing routine of I get up every morning, right at 8:30. It's going to be earlier than that from now on. But I get up. I sit up in my warm bed. I open my Bible app. I read the Bible. And then I pray. And I ain't talking about no split the heavens open, you know, hour-long prayer fest. I'm talking about I got certain things I pray for. I have a certain order I pray for them in. Some things have dropped off the list because I ain't praying for people forever. Like if somebody comes onto my heart, I pray for them for a week. And I figure if God hasn't set them straight in a week, then they can start paying me to pray for them. Speaking of which, I have a listener who I reached out to about because we were emailing back and forth about health stuff a while back. She was helping me get fit. Basically, and helping me to try vegetables. Matter of fact, she is the reason. My wife told me, she's like, "That woman is the reason And I thank her so much that she, if she didn't do anything else for you, she got you to eating vegetables and realizing that you have a different palate now than you did when you were little. And so anyway, I was just asking her how she was doing, because I was telling her, I'm doing great. I've lost, you know, all this weight, blah, blah, blah. I had bariatric surgery. She says, man, I'm just depressed. I'm just really down and out. And I said, well, I'll be praying for you. But I didn't tell her it's only for a week. So I hope everything works out. I really do. I had depression for 10 years. And I still may have it. I don't know. But she's got a week to get right. And then after that she's on her own. It's like my sister. I told her I pray for her every day but Sunday, because I do skip Sundays. I take a break from walking, praying, and reading. And it's my Sabbath. It's my Sabbath. So she said, she responded, she said, Sunday actually was pretty crappy, but thanks anyway. So maybe I should pray for my sister on Sundays too. I don't know. But that morning routine is nothing to just say and then move on from, because it has literally changed everything for me. I mean, as much as bariatric surgery changed my weight and the way I think about food and all that, my morning routine has helped me fight depression more than anything else, because it's like my psychiatrist or my counselor said. She said, James, get up, read the Bible. She says, even if you don't stay awake, even if you go back to sleep and sleep all day, you at least started your day off right. And I was like, bam, that hit hard. And so, you know, a little GOK action for you. If you're a person that struggles with the spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible reading, and the last time you think you would ever do it is early in the morning, give it a shot. Give it a shot. Here's the cheater way to do it. It's little steps. It's Atomic Habits, the book. Atomic Habits, tiny 1% changes. Sit up in the bed. Check your email, you know, whatever, until your eyes get clear. That's what I do. I check my email and stuff because I can't read right out of the bed. Can't do it. So I'll check my email and all that and clear out that inbox and file away stuff. And then punch up your Bible app, open it up to Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Pick whatever date it is. Click that chapter and read that joker. You'll be done in 3 to 5 minutes. Just make sure you stay focused. If your brain gets off topic, go back and reread. You know, that happens to me all the time. And then, you know, so this is a great way to, and even if you're not depressed, this is a great way to start your day. It takes minutes, and it will begin to change your life, because it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction. If you are somebody like me that struggles with doing things that are good for you because of self-loathing, or maybe you're just in a situation right now where you don't feel like doing the right thing, or you feel like doing the right thing caused you a lot of wrong problems, start reading that Bible. I didn't pray the first time. Matter of fact, prayer became an addition to that. And I almost got to the point where I felt like, oh God, now I got to pray. Like, I felt like I had to pray better every time I prayed. Like, I had to improve. And that's bullcrap. I actually, for some of the things that I pray for consistently about family members and for certain friends of mine and stuff, I do shortcut prayers now, because I'm like, you know, God, you know, we're asking for so-and-so for this person. I just pray that you would do that. A lot of times I combine both of my children together in one prayer request, because my heart is the same for both of them. And that is that they would be drawn to the things of God, that they would be drawn to a life of morality, and that they would make good decisions and not ruin their life. So you know, people can get all over me if you want to, but between the pressure of having to pray the perfect prayer and then never praying because I have to pray perfectly, or praying often but imperfectly and cheating, I think God understands. I think he would rather me pray bad than not pray at all. Okay. So not saying I pray bad. I'm just saying if you pray bad, I don't pray in King James. You know what I'm saying? I don't see angels flying out of my eyeballs when I pray. I don't feel this heavy presence of God when I pray. It is a chore for me. It is a task that is done. And that changes as I see my prayers coming to pass. Like, one of the things that I have prayed consistently is that my wife, I start over every Monday, I pray that my wife would have a great weekend. Because she works so hard during the week, and the weeks are not a problem. But for some reason, when she's not at work, when she's at home, and she's faced with things that didn't get done during the week, when we've got events for the kids, when we've got church or, you know, a meeting to go to, a lot of things happen, you know, with the Melvin and our outreach stuff during the weekends. And she's tired, and she's not someone that likes to slow down and take a nap when she needs to. She in the past has gotten very, very worked up, very stressed out. To the point where I have to sit her down and talk her down from the ledge, you know? And so I pray specifically that she would get the things done that she needs to get done, that she would have times of peace and relaxation. And I'm telling you, the girl has gotten more done. She's gone out running every weekend. She has taken a nap every weekend. She has gone shopping every weekend. She doesn't always buy anything, but that's like fishing for men, right? You go fishing, you don't have to catch anything to fish. So she goes shopping. And she has just been absolutely totally different person. And I don't blame me. I don't get any credit for that, but it is an answer to my prayers. And so what does that turn into the next time I pray about it? It turns into praise. And I always do my thank yous and my praises right at the beginning. So a quick prayer model that you've probably heard before, but up, out, in. Some people do up, in, out. Okay. I do up, out, in. So you pray to God, thanking him and praising him. And for me, it's like 3 to 5 sentences. I just think of things he's done in my life. I thank him for them. I talk to him like a friend for just a brief period. And then I pray for my wife, my kids, my friends, and random people that God has put on my heart. My family, obviously, and then friends. I do it in order, because it's an order of importance for me. And then lastly, I pray, so that's out, you know, it's around me. Then I pray in, and I pray for myself. And I pray for energy. I pray for healing from depression. And I pray that I will continue in the disciplines that I've started. Because I'm telling you, they are the linchpin that everything else seems to be hanging off of. Like, every other good habit I have, walking 30 minutes a day, happens because I eat breakfast. And I eat breakfast at 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock in the morning because I get out of bed and I read and pray. You know, everything is hinges on that start time. Because you guys know I used to sleep till noon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I was hiding. I was trying to not feel, you know, depression does not feel good. Anxiety does not feel good. And if you don't do drugs or alcohol, you sleep, you lay in that bed and try to force yourself to sleep so you don't have to feel. So anyway, enough on that. Okay. Up, out, in. It's just some handy tips that that come to you from ex-Pastor James. Health updates. I can still feel the inside of my stomach area. Okay. These formerly would have been called surgery updates, but I'm just going to call them health updates because the surgery has been so long. It's been like 7 or 8 weeks now. It's not really an issue. You know, I'm all healed up in my stomach on the outside, but the inside, I can still feel that it's still healing. I don't feel like I can lift as much as I could. I mean, you guys know the story about the 50-pound dumbbell, so I can lift, but I feel it, you know, when I do. I don't think I'm going to rip anything open or bust open or anything gross like that, but I still don't pick up kids. My fake daughter, I don't pick her up yet. She knows. She gets sad when I don't pick her up, but I told her, I said, I had surgery. I can't do it right now. But I can still feel my innards, and I'm sure that that will go away because as things heal and settle back into their spaces and my new stomach settles in to its new nook, whatever nook it makes for itself. And I know that's going to happen because from what I understand, when they pull out your intestines and they didn't do that during my surgery, as far as I know, they did not do that. But when they do, for they just put them back in, and it's so great because imagine, first of all, if you had to put them in exactly the way they were supposed to, like Lego instructions, like page two, add this part and then sled the, oh, there's a loop here. You know, oh, you've knotted it. You've double knotted it. You know, no, they just slop them back in and the intestines work their way back into where they're supposed to be. And I'm sure that my new size stomach is trying to fit in the old stomach's hole, you know, the indention. But as my liver and my lungs and whatever else is around it fill in the gap and my stomach gets settled in, I'm sure everything will be fine. And, you know, like on my stomach where the incisions were made, I don't feel them. Okay. But if I touch them, I can feel down inside, like I can feel it all the way through the wall of the outer wall of my stomach. You know what I'm saying? So it's healed, but is it all the way back to normal? No, because it's still got some nerve endings apparently that haven't sealed up or whatever. It doesn't hurt, but I can feel all the way through it. And so I can logically say, okay, my stomach is healed. It's not going to have any problems, but I'm still feeling it. So anyway, that's just an important update. My scale is still going down. I am at 248.4. So just, you know, I was under 250 last week. I'm now at 248. My weight loss has slowed down as they said it would. And I'm kind of glad because my face is thinner, but I do have, what do they call it? What's a turkey have? No, turkeys have it above their noses. I have whatever chickens have under their beaks. I got a little extra. I got a cache. I could put a zipper on it and hold change in it, you know? So I welcome the slowdown so that maybe my body can retract and keep some of this saggy bagginess to a minimum. I don't look bad without a shirt on. I look forward to losing even more weight, but I am swimming in a double X now. Somebody asked me just yesterday at a meeting I was at, how's it going? And I pulled out, I had a button up double X on. So it wasn't even a t-shirt, which is flexible. You know, I had a cotton button up and I pulled it out and folded it over. And I said, this is a double X. And I pulled it out like 4.5 inches from my stomach. So that's going from barely fitting into triple X stuff, you know, to squeezing out the edges of a triple X and could probably fit in a 1X t-shirt at this point. So I'm happy. I'm happy. Going up and down stairs, you know, I have to rewrite my brain because when there's something upstairs that I need, I used to talk myself out of it, you know? And even getting up and moving to a different part of the office to get something out of a drawer, if I couldn't slide over there with my chair, I would kind of just talk myself out of it. But now getting up and moving isn't a big deal. And you say, well, James, why is standing from a sitting position hard for you? Well, I talked about it last week. I carried around that 50-pound weight to try to get it back to Amazon, and it almost killed me. And I was like, dude, you were doing this all the time. You were carrying around 50 extra pounds all the time. Every time you stood up, you were lifting 50 pounds in addition to everything else. So no, I mean, I feel a difference and it feels good. And I have to, though, remind myself, I have to tell my brain, going up the steps is not going to be a big giant pain in the butt. Because steps, you just compound that. Every step is lifting extra 50 pounds. And so, wow, you know, big difference, big difference, big difference. I'm still walking 30 minutes a day, but last week I only walked 15 for one of the days. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Am I falling behind? What is, you know, is it that I don't have the energy? Because last episode, I remember talking about mental and physical energy are tied together in me anyway, that if I'm not mentally strong, it does affect my physical strength as well. And I was like, am I having a bad day and not even knowing it? And then I got on there the next day and I hit my button and I'm starting to sweat like almost immediately. I looked over and the incline is not at 2, it's at 4. So apparently there's math involved. If you double the incline, James can only walk half the distance. So I jogged that joker back down to 2 and I texted my wife. I'm like, somebody was walking up the Grand Canyon on the treadmill and that's why I couldn't walk yesterday. And she's like, oops, sorry, that was me. So that has challenged me though, because I am walking about as fast as I'm ever going to want to walk, which is at a 3. If I pump it up to 4, I'm going to run. And maybe running is in my future as I lose more weight. I'm still a little too jiggly right now. But I foresee cranking up the intensity through incline as being the next logical step. So in my last 10 minutes, started today, my last 10 minutes, I crank it up to 2.5. Baby steps, you know, micro steps, atomic steps. That's what we're doing, 1% changes. And so eventually I want to get to where I'm, you know, walking 30 minutes at 3 incline. You know, that would be good. That's a good thing. So I'm working on it, you know, I'm working on it. Podcast wise, let's get to the stuff I love to talk about that nobody else likes to hear about. I am still selling items. I sold a surge protector, a rack mounted surge protector this week. Guy just came up, handed me $15, took it away. Loved it. Love selling stuff. I'm selling things and I will ship them. All I have left is a digital recorder, which is nice. You can plug XLR cables into it. So microphones directly into it. It records to an SD card. It does multi-track recording. It does 360 recording. It does directional recording. It comes with a pop filter, or you can use it without. I think I have a handle, so you can use it like a, hold it like a microphone, but it was the recorder that we used for years with the podcast. And I don't need it anymore because I have the Rodecaster Pro 2. I will tell you this, the rubber on it, the rubber coating is a little tiny bit sticky. I don't know why. I guess it's just aged. But the thing is 50% off, and if you talk sweet to me, I might go lower. I think a little talcum powder would take care of it, honestly. I looked up online how to get rid of it, and they said you would have to use a rubbing technique. And I was like, no, I don't really want to rub it. I might keep it, so I don't know. But I have a power conditioner and surge protector. It's rack-mounted. It's Furman. Which is a brand that I never heard of, but I own it. And it is you use it in a rack system and you plug all your items into it. And then when you flip that one switch, everything turns on and it's conditioned power. So it takes the line noise out of the electricity, and it's a surge protector. So it's really nice. But I'm selling it separately. If you want a price on it, I think it's $30. It's half price. Everything's half price of what I paid for it. And then I have two, I always want to say this properly, two Heil boom arm mic stands. And I used them forever, but now I use low profile mic stands because we record video. So I want the mic to be out of my face. So it comes up from underneath now instead of over top like you're used to seeing DJs talk and stuff like that. So anyway, if you're interested in that, I'm also working on my webcam angle. Now that sounds really exciting, and it is. It kept me up for a good bit of the night. I was thinking about my webcam angle. Okay, I have an ultra wide monitor. A lot of times what people do when they stream, and we stream that story show, when they live stream, they have two separate monitors, and they will separate those monitors by a couple inches, and they will mount their webcam between those two monitors at eye level. So they get a nice, clean, you know, straight on face forward view. And half the time it looks like they're looking at the webcam because their eyes are floating between the two screens. My webcam is on top of my monitor. So people are seeing a top-down perspective. So it looks a little bit like a security camera. And my eyes don't open very far. So it looks like my eyes are closed the entire podcast, and I'm never looking up because I'm always looking down at the stuff underneath the webcam. So it bothers me. I want to have a good looking podcast, and everything looks really good except for me and where my eyes are at. So I've been looking for solutions, and there is a solution. It's called PlexiHang or something like that. I don't know. I'm not going to advertise for them, but for $100 freaking, you can buy a bent piece of acrylic plastic that will hang from your monitor about halfway down, and then it has a mount for you to mount your webcam. So the acrylic obviously is clear, so you can see through it, and the only dark spot on the monitor would be the webcam itself, which is about, I want to say 3.5-4 inches wide, maybe 1.25 inches tall. So, and I always read to the left or the right anyway. My monitor is like having two 47-inch screens side by side. So I am always looking a little to the left or to the right anyway. So it wouldn't be a problem. But I'm not spending money for a bent piece of plastic that I could probably make with cardboard and a hot glue gun in about 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And I bet I could go get some Plexi down at the daggum Home Depot and take a heat gun and bend that crap and make my own stupid thing. So I just think it's overpriced. It's very overpriced for what it is. I think they've got their little niche, their little niche there, you know? And I don't think so. So what I think I'm going to do is what I used to do. I have a little mic stand, a desktop mic stand, that I've got a little screw top on it that'll screw into the webcam. And I think I'm just going to put it in front of the monitor. It's going to be in the way. That's the only thing, is it'll be something I have to move before and after the show, but boohoo, right? I would have to move the daggum Plexi mold $100 thing. Cause where am I going to hang that when it's not hanging where it needs to be? What am I going to do with that? The thing is like 10 inches long. It's a big old piece of heavy plastic, like 80s, like 80s pulpits were made out of, you know, the plexiglass pulpits that everybody had back in the 80s and 90s. I don't need that. I don't need that. So anyway, but it's a big deal. So I'm going to try it out today. I like the way I have my desk arranged. I don't want to rearrange it. I want things to work right. And if I have to spend money, I will, but I ain't buying one of them daggum Plexi things as perfect as it would be. It is a perfect solution. It really truly is, but I'm not spending that much money. It's like when low profile mic stands came out. I was like, I need one of those. And so I looked it up, $340 something. I'm like, no way. As they get popular, other companies will start to make them. So I waited. And first of all, the people that made them were Chinese factories, and they were $40, and they were horrible, horribly reviewed. So I waited. I said, eventually some of these companies that make these stands or other kinds of stands will start to make these stands. And sure enough, Elgato got in there, a bunch of other companies, and I got one of the best ones. And it was $50, you know. I've never paid less for a boom arm. Never paid less. The most expensive ones were the Heil boom arms that I have now that are for sale. But they're 50% off. So, you know, make me an offer. Hit me up, james@nlcast.com. So I'm working on my webcam angle. Depression wise, I am doing well. I have no symptoms currently. I do not feel like I'm heading downward or upward. I'm just even. And I'm leveled out. I'm not sleeping great. Sometimes that is an indication of things to come, but I've also not been on all of my medication regularly the last couple of weeks. And it started with my clonazepam. I tried to get it filled at the Walgreens down the street that I've used for years since we moved here. And they said, we're out. And they said, it's a national shortage. And I said, oh, really? Oh, really? Or are we selling it out the back door? So I called around. And guess what? My Walgreens is the only one that doesn't have clonazepam. So I switched it permanently to another Walgreens. And now I'm in the process of trying to switch every refill to this new Walgreens. And it's just not going smoothly. So I am off of one of my antidepressant medications. And I think it messed me up yesterday. My wife found an older prescription, and we cut some pills in half, and we matched my prescription with some older medication. It's the same stuff, you know, again. But yesterday I was at a series of meetings, and I was just not myself. I was just kind of tired, just kind of disinterested, and didn't have a lot of attention to have. Of course, they were boring meetings, but still, usually I can power through them. But anyway, doing great now since I have my medication back. But trying to get that stuff filled today while I still have a car. I have a car today because I had an interview. But family updates. Jen has told her boss that she is leaving, and he is being butthurt. Do you know what butthurt is? It's when you get hurt, and rather than getting mad or sad, you just become a butt and you take it personally. And this man has been a good boss. If he has a flaw, it's been that he hasn't taken the best care of her. He doesn't like conflicts. And so I think I mentioned last week that this year, my wife took over a complete job. A lady quit, another manager. And rather than hiring a new person, Jen said, you know what? Pay me and I will do everything she's doing. And so they did. They upped her pay. And she started doing everything that lady was doing along with everything she was doing. Jen's like that. She loves working. But when it came time for bonus payout, they subtracted all of that extra money that she had earned throughout the year from her final bonus. So it all balanced out to where she did all that extra work for no extra money. And she's quick to defend her boss, but me looking from the outside in, and I'm sure you can see it too, he should have stepped up. But he is a baby prince. If you've ever read the Birth Order book, I suggest you at least skim it or do the Cliff Notes on it or something. But it just talks about how your birth order has to do with your personality. And baby princes, the youngest borns, don't like conflict because they're used to being taken care of. So he didn't do it. He didn't step up. And I think he was very comfortable with where Jen was. I think they had a great working relationship. And I think he took it personally when she stepped down. And yeah, I think he's kind of panicking a little bit. I think I mentioned last week that there hasn't been a job she's left that they haven't hired at least three people to replace her. And I foresee a similar happening, at least two. One to do her job, one to do that other manager's job. But she's not even mean. She's going to stay there a month. She even went to him. She's like, look, you know, I can tell things are different. I'm so proud of her for standing up to him. You know, I can tell things are different. Do you even want me here? I can be here for 2 weeks and be here for a month. I can help you transition or I can just get out of the way. And he says, I want you to be here to help transition. So, you know, she at least knows where she stands. But yeah, things are different. And it's become one of the things I've added to my prayer list for her is to help her through this time because it stresses her out. But in another way, it also finalizes in her mind that she wasn't fully appreciated at her job. So there you go. Anyway, Jenna will be home by like May 10th. So like in a week and a half, she's going to be done with her first year of college. What the heck? Have I mentioned that she's really good at accounting? She wanted to practice law and she's doing terrible in any of her law classes. She's dropped them, but she's doing amazing in accounting like her mama. And Miss Action Girl, Jenna, who can't sit still for 5 minutes, is about to start doing a job where she'll sit still forever. She's like, well, there's other aspects to accounting. There's all this. I'm like, no, I said pretty much any job that's an adult job where you work in an office, you're going to be sitting, right? She's like, that's true. That's true. So I said, but how bad does it suck to be really good at something that you're not that interested in committing your life to? So I just think it's great. She put us through Hades growing up. That girl was always a hard-headed little butt face, as cute as she could be, but she was bad. And I think it's great. It's like I can't wait for her to have some bad children too. You know, I'm going to love them. I'm going to teach them how to do bad tricks and stuff. I taught a kid how to do a bad trick yesterday because during the meeting, it was so boring. The kids that were there asked me to go out and play with them. And I said, sure. So I went outside and we were playing games and stuff. And I said, hey, look at these. And we pull one of those what do you call them? Dandelions. You know, we're blowing dandelions. And I hold one up to the boy. He's 10 years old, so don't feel too sorry for him. And I hold it up to him. I said, one, two, and he sucks his breath in for three, and I shoved it in his mouth. And he laughed. He was like, and he grabbed one and started running for his parents. I was like, don't you do that to your parents. She's like, and the mom's like, that's why he walked in here with a dandelion. I said, that'll be another phone call from school. Thanks, James. I'm like, hey, you know, whatever I can do. If it's another phone call from school, I ain't feeling too bad. If it's the phone call that he's ever got, first one he's ever gotten from school, then I feel bad. But anyway, Jay mowed the lawn today, and he's not even feeling good. So Jay gets mentioned on the show because he mowed the lawn. And it was kind of wet out. So he mowed a wet lawn, which is a pain in the butt. So hats off to Jay. Jay's doing good. We went yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was busy. We went to him and a team of other students did a presentation on World War II, specifically its impact in Missouri. and it's part of his smart kid. They call it the Academy Kids. So he's part of the Academy. I guess it's like gifted or whatever. I don't know. I just have these brilliant children. And I say that very proudly and very in your face, because I never thought James would ever have any smart kids. It's all Jen's fault. But yeah, so we got to sit through all that, and it was short and sweet, and it was well done. Jay's team did great. They had some amazing looking slides. I'm gonna tell you, the slides had a background that adjusted based it had variations based on the content in the slide, which is huge to me. So all the slides connected and had the same colors, same look and feel, but they also matched the time period, people. There was an Art Deco kind of style to it. It was very well done. I was very impressed as a designer myself. So let's talk about what I'm watching, reading, and playing. I'm not reading anything but the Bible, because I am that kind of religious, man. The only thing for me is that good old Word of God. No, I haven't read anything. I'm been listening to things on YouTube. I've talked about the SCP stuff, but there's this stuff called Creepypasta that is, I think it's through Reddit, but people write stories about creepy stuff. Like this story I read or listened to, was about a kid who in kindergarten sent out a balloon, with a letter in it, you know, and in, the deal was the balloon was supposed to land, the people, you know, get a, they write back and the teacher has a map of where all the people are writing from, so they can see how far their balloons went and all that. Well, this kid just gets a letter with a photograph in it. And long story short, the photographs keep coming to the tune of like 50 of them, and he quits opening them. And when he's a little older, he's going through a drawer, like a couple years older, and he opens up a couple of them, and he's in some of the pictures. He's got a stalker. And then there's this part where he moves out. His cat keeps going under the house. They live in a trailer. And the mom is moving out, and she's going underneath to get the cat. And she suddenly jumps out from underneath there and says, "We got to move now. Don't even pack the rest of your stuff. We're moving now." And he goes back to the house to try to find the cat, because the cat runs away. And he's like, "What if it went to the old house?" So he goes up underneath the trailer, and there's a blanket, and there's like a pillow, and there's a bowl of cat food. And it's like, dude had been living under their house and attracting the cat and stuff like that. So it's creepypasta, right? It's just what they call it. I don't know. It's an internet thing. So it's like short stories, but it's right in my alley, where it's a little bit creepy, you know? And, the guys on YouTube take and pick the best ones, cause I'm sure they're not all great, cause it's a public writing project. It's not just one guy. Anybody can write them, but they pick out the best ones and they dramatize them to a certain extent, use voice actors and all this kind of stuff, and put them out as audio on YouTube. And I love it. I love it a lot. I actually mentioned the name last week, so I won't do it again. What am I watching? I'm watching Fallout on Prime, and it's a trip. It is earning that MA. So far, I'm only into episode 3, but you know, if you don't like blood, you shouldn't watch Fallout. So don't watch Fallout. But it is so true to the game. There's stuff they're making up for the movie or for the show, but it's good. It's good. My wife's enjoying it, and she doesn't even play the game. So I'm watching Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. Why? Because I want to catch up on Transformers movies. I quit watching them after Revenge of the Fallen, and I didn't even remember Revenge of the Fallen. So as I'm watching it, I realize I have seen this, but I don't remember it, and it's better than I thought it was. So I know there's like 7 of them or something now, and I kind of want to do it with Fast and the Furious too, because there's like 10 of those, and I like movies that are easy to watch sometimes. And, So I don't know. I might do that. But anyway, YouTube find of the week is an animator and storyteller that I have enjoyed. He is family friendly. Haminations. Haminations. He is a guy that sounds like a kid. And from what he says, he looks like a kid too. But he has got millions of followers, and he tells stories and animates them, and he's really good. He's really good. I would say that he's right up there with Odd Ones Out. And Odd Ones Out's good. He was my favorite. Haminations is up there though, boy. I'm telling you, he's up there with I can't remember her name now. Jaden Animations. So they're good. They're good stuff. What am I playing? I think I'm gonna start playing Fallout 4. I installed it because I just wanted to play through it again. But then I found out they added some stuff, some updates. There's some new quests and items and things like that that they've done because of the show. And so I am right now continuing an old game where I'm all maxed out. You know, I've got all the best weapons, all the best perks. And so I'm going to play through all the bonus stuff. And then I think I'm going to start over with a brand new character because I just love that game. It's so good. What am I doing? I'm considering it. I'm kind of writing it out, planning it out. There's two things. One is a Buzz crafting project, Buzz Lightyear pixel art that I did a few years ago. I think I've mentioned it on the show. I talked about how many pixels there are and all this. I would cut 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter by 2 centimeter blocks, about 300 and some odd of them, and paint them and glue them together in a certain shape to make a Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, I have talked about this. So I think I'm actually going to consider pursuing it. I've got to get a few things done first that I'll talk about in just a second. But my other thing I want to do is I want to work on the intro for that story show, both the audio version and the intro that we use on YouTube. I created a YouTube intro using a tutorial that I found using After Effects. This allows you to basically do motion graphics and make text dance around the screen and all that for video. But I'm not happy with it. It's not what I want. So I've got an idea in my head. I need to draw out basically a timeline where I don't animate it, but I draw out a series of sketches that shows how I want the logo animation to go. And then because of the specificity of my design, I know there's not going to be a tutorial that's going to teach me exactly how to do it. So I'm going to have to hunt up how to do each part that I want to do. And by the time I'm done, I feel like I'll pretty much be a pretty good After Effects user. So there's that. Secondly, I wanted to change the audio intro for that story show for quite a while because we've done the music and it's been overlaid with quotes from the show. But a lot of the quotes are inside jokes and quotes can get old. I've also listened to a lot of other podcasts and they have interesting music, but they don't do quotes and stuff over their music. And so I think we should do the same thing. But I can't find the original working files. So the easiest thing would be to be able to open it up in Audition, delete, you know, the voiceovers, and then just export it. But I don't have any of that. I just have the original music, and I would have to recreate some sound effects and all this kind of stuff. So it's one of my projects for this week to work on the intro for the music and the intro for YouTube. And this is going to be the last week I have to spend time like that. So I'm going to take advantage of it, you know, because of the new job and everything. I'm also signed up for another podcast meetup. I mentioned last week that I went to it and it was fun. And it's something I want to continue doing. I need to get out more socially, and I can talk to anybody as long as we have a shared interest. And podcasting is that thing. I'm also writing an article on how I podcast. I do it every few years or so. My first one was in 2008. I did another one in 2010, 2014, 2020. And then now I'm going to do this new one, but my procedure has been so simplified that all I've done is I wrote down, I have this kind of microphone and this kind of mic stand, and I have a Rodecaster Pro 2, and then I don't know what else to write. So I'm going to go back and look at my old articles and try to pull any, you know, what was I, you know, maybe I can just do a comparison. Like, I used to do this and now I don't do this, and I used to do this and now I don't do this, and kind of pitch the simplicity of it rather than just saying, all I use are these two things now, you know. I don't know. So that I started the article and then I hit a wall and I haven't gotten back to it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm also trying to get somebody to fix the gutters. If you guys know any good gutter people in St. Louis, I have tried to call several people. Nobody has called me back except for one guy. And he says, we don't do gutters, we clean gutters. And the other people said they'd fix gutters, but they said the best thing to do would be to start with a cleaning. And I was like, it doesn't need to be cleaned. It needs to be fixed. And then they never call me back. So I think they're a scam. They just want to clean your gutters. And there's no trees over my house. You know, my gutters are working fine. It's just, except for the part that's pulled away from the house. So anyway, my other thing I'm doing is trying to keep water from getting in my basement. It's been raining a lot lately. And I got something called a drain protector, and it is working great. You just have to clean it after each rain, which is fine. I love that. That's great. Get the leaves off there with my hand. Throw them away. It's great. I bought they call them sandbags, but they're not sandbags. They're on Amazon. It's full of this material that absorbs water and puffs up and creates a 3-inch wall by, you know, at the base of your door. And so I got one of those for like $20-$25, and I threw it down there, and it's absorbing water as we speak. And, I think between the two of those things, between the drain tube cover and, that little dam that I put in place, I think we're going to be great. I guess that's it. That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I enjoyed sharing with you. Sorry it was a little long. I've got it in an hour and 15 minutes. That is more than I meant to go, but we were talking about stuff, right? You know, and that's okay. I always like to leave you with a closing thought. And this is something I shared with my sister. It sounded good. So let's see what you think. My closing thought for today is, you're doing better than you think you are. You're stronger than you feel you are, and you've grown more than you think you have. I hope that means something to you today. This podcast is brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community and become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK. Email me your feedback, thoughts, and questions, james@nlcast.com. And for everything else, visit gokcast.com. We'll see you guys next week. God bless. Bye.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.